Good morning.
Good morning.
Chairman O'Brien, Supervisor, Stanislaus County residents and friends. Hello, my name is Mark Rossi, and I'm a resident of Stanislaus County, and I live here in Modesto. On behalf of the Italian Americans in Stanislaus County, I would like to thank the Board of Supervisors for designating the month of October Italian American Heritage Month. The significance of this month of October dates back to 1492, when the Admiral Cristoforo Colombo spanned the seas to the New World. Throughout the brief history of the United States, Italians and Italian Americans have made many contributions as well as sacrifices to help make this great country of ours what it is today. I'm a member of a national organization that was founded in 1905 in Little Italy, New York, called the Order Sons of Italy in America. The Modesto chapter of the Sons of Italy was founded on April 20, 1952. The Sons of Italy is a national organization of men and women who represent the estimated 26 million Americans of Italian heritage. We're the sixth largest ethnic group in the United States. We are dedicated to promoting our culture and traditions, our language, and the legacy of our ancestors. We are sons and daughters, grandmothers and grandfathers. We are corporate executives and growers in the Central Valley, young students and retirees, teachers and attorneys, doctors and firefighters, bakers and Wall Street brokers, and everything in between. We are philanthropists, and we are model global citizens with purpose beyond ourselves. And we are proud and patriotic of Americans of Italian heritage. We exemplify the very best of what it is to be Italian American. On behalf of Italian Americans in Stanislaus County, I would like to thank the Board of Supervisors and Special Supervisors DeMartini and Chiesa for recognizing the contribution of Italian Americans by designating the month of October in Stanislaus County Italian American Heritage Month. Thank you.
Very good, thank you. And now our Italian caucus of the board will present a resolution. Supervisor DeMartini and Chiesa.
Mark, it's good to have you back again.
Thank you.
It was a nice presentation. We have a nice certificate from the Board of Supervisors commemorating October as Italian Heritage Month. So I'd like to present that to you. Vito Chiesa and I both, between us, we made the motion. I think I made it, and he seconded it this year. I always said that we're only one vote away from having the agenda in Italian. So. So anyway, let me present this.
Buongiorno. Congratulations, and on behalf of the 26 million, Italian Americans, including the three of us here, we want to congratulate you on Italian Heritage Month.
Thank you very much.
Okay, second presentation this morning is October 2012, Fire Prevention Month in Stanislaus County. Chief Payton? Good morning.
Good morning. Chairman O'Brien, members of the board, I'd like to thank you for recognizing October 2012 as Fire Prevention Month and the job that we do. And I'd like to offer this up to the clerk. These are flyers that we are distributing, 20,000 of them, to various school districts throughout the county. That all the students, K through third grade, will be getting these. Shannon Sandoval, our inspector, is in charge of the PubEd program. She's doing a wonderful job in this. I'm sure you'll see her activities and the duties that she's doing out there. She's got her face out there in the community, doing a great job for us. So on behalf of the Modesto Regional Fire Authority, I thank you for your efforts.
Okay. We do have a resolution if you come forward. All right. Well, I'll read a little bit of our resolution this morning. Modesto Regional Fire Authority is committed to ensuring the safety and security of all those living and visiting Modesto Regional Fire Authority's jurisdiction. Fire is a serious public safety concern, both locally and nationally, and homes are the location where people are at the greatest risk from fire. According to the National Fire Protection Association, home fires killed more than 2,600 people in the United States in the year 2010, and fire departments responded to more than 369,000 home fires nationally. Almost three-quarters of Americans have an escape plan. However, less than half have actually practiced it. Residents who have planned and practiced a home fire escape plan are more prepared and more likely to survive a fire. And that reminds me, as the time change comes up here in the next month, we all have to check our smoke detectors in our house. So it's a great time to remember to do that. Therefore, be it resolved that the San Francisco County Board of Supervisors does hereby proclaim October 2012 as Fire Prevention Month and encourages all citizens and businesses to practice their home fire escape plan during Fire Prevention Month 2012. Thank you for the job that you guys do out there on the prevention side, as well as our firefighters on the suppression side. Thank you for a job well done. Okay, moving on our agenda, it's public comment period. This is a time in the board meeting where anybody can address this Board of Supervisors on any item within our jurisdiction. I have two specific requests to speak, and we'll start there. First, Reed Johnson. Good morning.
Good morning. Chairman O'Brien and Supervisors and staff, I appreciate having a moment of your time. My name is Reed Johnson. I live in Modesto. I'd like to give each of you a copy of some important information. Do I give that to the clerk? I'm sure as you're aware, there's a lot of things going on in this country that's very destructive to our economy and to the livelihoods of our people. And I'm sure you're aware that resources are being taken away from our country and our individuals, from water to oil to energy use, timber, land use, all sorts of things. And largely this is through the excessive growth of state regulatory agencies far beyond any constitutional limits or outline for their use. And I'm sure that most everybody has the belief that this is not sustainable, that things need to change. With this debt and everything else that we've got going on, where things are not looking good unless we make some changes. And I like to say, when I found out that all of you are Republicans, I'll tell you what my reaction was. My reaction was, good, they ought to get together and establish a model and do everything right and save the country and let everybody else pattern after this county. Well, guess what? The right way of doing things is outlined in our Constitution and on our wonderful documents, the way our country should be. And that movement is already going on. And there's a movement called Defend Rural America that's moving throughout the West. And it's nothing more than each county and each area reestablishing their constitutional rights and principles. You probably have heard of Siskiyou County that was targeted to tear down the dams and destroy their livelihood and move the people out of there. Well, people stood up for their rights, and a lot of people have joined and supported them, and those dams have not come down yet. And people are winning because property rights is right, individual rights is right, and this is a great country. Appreciate your service. This Defend Rural America, there's, I think, 9 counties in Northern California that's really acting like constitutional counties. Sheriffs are taking seriously their oath to defend their citizens against all enemy foreign and domestic, and we the people are standing up and saying the people that's taken our livelihood away from us are our enemies. And we're expecting our public officials and everyone to join in and to reset this country on its rightful and great course. That movement is being implemented here in Central Valley. There was a meeting last week in Fresno. There was about 1,000 people attended. There's one in Trascadero, and Lodi, and we're having an event here in Modesto on Saturday, October 27th, and I'm giving you that information there. I would really appreciate it if you could participate. I'd appreciate if you go to Defend Rural America and get educated. The federal government does not have the totalitarian jurisdiction that we assume or that's implemented. There's a lot of wonderful things for us to learn and reestablish. I'd really appreciate your participation, and I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. April Primo? Good morning.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is April Primo, and I have good news for you. I've come to compliment one of your departments, the Public Works Department. My last set of tires I got 20,000 miles out of. I live out where Crow's Landing intersects with Monta Vista. And the road between Monta Vista and, on Monta Vista, between Crow's Landing and Central was atrocious. So I decided to go into Public Works. I thought, oh boy, I wonder how many signatures I'm going to have to get. I'm going to have to throw myself on the floor and cry, or what am I going to have to do here? I went in and told them the road's not any good. 3 days later, I get a telephone call from Public Works. And they go, what hole do you want us to fill? I said, what do you mean, what hole? They said, we're down here on Bystrom. I said, I'll be right down. So I ran down and I said, it's not Bystrom I want filled, it's Monta Vista. The poor guy who was out there, this hole filler, looked at me and says, lady, I can't fill these holes, there's too many. The pavement, actually, the last time it was paved, had came up off of the other pavement, it didn't seal. So I said, well, could you get some of the big ones? We've been trying to fill them ourselves. We go to Home Depot and get some patch, and we've been trying to fill them ourselves. He said, sure, I'll fill them for you. So he did a real nice attempt at going down there and trying to fill them. And he says, I'm going to have to tell them that something has to be done out here. So I went in next week and said into the Public Works, and they said, we're going to skip pave your tires, where they pave the good parts, skip, and then pave, you know, the bad part. I said, okay, that's great. He said, we won't get to it till after the first of the year. I said, that's fine, go back, put my calendar on the first of the year so I could call them and make sure they did it. Guess what? 2 weeks later, they're out there and they're trying something new. They sealed our part of our road, put gravel down on it to see if it would work. And it worked. And so about a month and a half later, they sealed the other half. So now we have it sealed, and they have promised me that they will come back and repave the entire thing in 13 or 14. These are the most efficient people I've ever met. They were polite. They actually took the complaint serious. Their managers went out and looked at it. They figured out a way that they could at least patch us over until they could get to us. Two thumbs up for the Public Works Department.
Great. Thank you. Thanks. Anybody else want to address this board today? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, ma'am. You have to love a feel-good story like the county that works. All right, congratulations. And I'd like to remind everybody that we just missed National Register to Vote Day. So if you haven't already, and I'm sure all you have, of course, but anybody else out there, you'd be surprised how many people aren't registered. I do have a concern, though. The citizens, you know, they have a right to know. They are always trying to find out what's really going on in the city of Modesto and the county. When the city of Modesto voted on to stop the water sale, it was reported that it was 7-0, but we all know it was 5-2. When MID decided to stop the water sale, it was reported that it was 5-0, but we all know it was 3-2. So when it came to the Salida annexation, we were told 60 days minimum, maybe longer, to get the report back. Nothing will happen until that comes up. Ballpark. We're not trying to pin anybody down to the day. So imagine my surprise when I looked at the Modesto, and you're not responsible for this, but the city calendar that said there's going to be a meeting between the staff of the county and the city of Modesto on yesterday. Oh, no big deal, I thought. That's not a bad. But so I called down to find out what the agenda was. I said, oh, no, it's not a public meeting. So they immediately, by little surprise, took it off the calendar. It was never on the Stanislaus calendar. But I pressed until I got until they were at least willing to read me the agenda. And would imagine my surprise when I found out Salida was one of the topics that they were going to discuss. So So I asked City Manager Greg Nyhoff, can I attend? Let's just say that he said no nicely. And I understand it to an extent. This is a staff meeting, but we all know that if you want to see what's going to go on here, you go to the committee meetings. If you want to know what's going to go on to the committee meetings, it helps to go to the staff meetings. And the other thing that bothered me is that after the meeting was over, Mr. Nyhoff, who was scheduled to go to an agenda meeting and then another cities and community meeting last night, missed the agenda meeting, missed most of the cities and community meeting. And again, that's not your responsibility, but where was he? Across the street talking to what I consider to be a special interest group, the Chamber of Commerce. You know, members like Steve Madison of the building industry, Mike Meridian, these are the directors of the board. He's campaign chairman for Joe Muratori. So when we see what's been going on, you know, Modesto just made the decision to put the $30,000. We talked about that. They turned around and Mr. Muratori voted on that, despite the fact he has his for sale signs up there in Salida, one property alone being $1.75 million worth. So when we see that there's a meeting between the staffs that we're not allowed to attend, but yet the mayor last night assured me that, you know, they're just discussing things, Emerson, working out some little things. We'd rather settle in private than in public. Although I have to tell you, that doesn't make me happy. And then especially, and I'm going to relay a little story he did, and then I'll be out of here. He reminded me of Dick Lang, who was Modesto mayor back in 96. Well, he didn't manage to pull the annexation off when they wanted to put the ballpark up there. But before that came down, he said, talking about an advisory vote, they can have an advisory vote, and I'll listen to their advice, but I just won't take it. So when you see the citizens of Salida have a concern about the moneyed interest on the Modesto City Council, when you see the mayor of Modesto, you know, stories like that are meant for a reason. And when you turn around and see that there's an agenda that you're not allowed to go to, that Salida, the Salida annexation's on, it's a serious concern. So I don't know what went on. Hopefully we'll find out at some point. Hopefully it was nothing of any consequence. But I would hope the next time that the city and the county want to get together before we get this report back and talk about Salida, that the public would be involved. I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to address the Board of Supervisors?
I'm just going to real quick respond to Emerson. Again, I'm just going to reiterate what I've said several times. Nothing's going to happen in Salida without Salida's buy-in on it. So just to reinforce, regardless of what's going on, Salida's going to be a part of any decision, for what that's worth.
Good morning, board members, and Ms. Nino, Mr. Doering. I'm Vanessa Zilpek. I'm your county library director. I'm also a member of the League of Women Voters. The League of Women Voters will be at the Turlock Library and the Modesto Library on October 20th from 10 to 2, registering voters. Plus, voter registration forms are available to the public at every single one of our 13 county libraries. Thank you.
Very good. Any other public comment this morning? Seeing none, we'll move to consent calendar. A consent calendar consists of items marked with an asterisk on our agenda. Any board member wish to pull any item? I'll be pulling item A2 and B5 for separate votes. Any member of the audience wish to comment on any consent calendar items? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for action list A2 and B5.
A motion to approve.
There's a motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. A2 and B5 will be real quick. We'll take those real fast before we get to our other item. A2 is the annual meeting calendar for Board of Supervisors. I have routinely voted against the calendar, matter of principle. The principle is that you have 16 either non-scheduled or canceled meetings, depending on how you look at it. And just past history, I've voted against that and will continue to do so this year. So is there a motion to approve the meeting calendar for 2013?
I'm just going to make a quick comment. A couple of those meetings are canceled as a result of my profession, and I think I look at that as an asset for this board, that everybody on the board here all have other jobs besides this, and that we work around those jobs. And I think that's an asset of this board. It makes us even stronger because we don't depend on this position for our livelihood. And so I think the reason that we have certain days that we take off there is to help us during our certain tax seasons or harvest or whatever we have going on. So I really look at those, I understand what you're saying, Bill, but I look at it as a good thing that we're not all just sitting here with nothing else to do but be on the Board of Supervisors. We've all got other livelihoods and jobs. We're out in the real world. We're dealing with the repercussions of our decisions here, and I think that's a good thing for what that's worth.
Supervisor DeMartini?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I've always looked at this as not a canceled meetings, but just meetings that not set. If you look at virtually every city council meeting that they do not meet every week either. Generally, if they meet, like in some series, we'll meet on the second and fourth Monday, but that doesn't mean that the first and third Monday is a canceled meeting. They just don't have one set. I think that the meeting schedule is reasonable. It's sufficient to do the board's business, and if there's a problem with the department or in the district, you know, we are here and we will handle it.
And I'm not looking to change anybody's mind on here. It's just our ordinance says we meet on the Tuesdays, but we will for all but 16 of them next year. So anyways, looking for a motion to approve this calendar.
I'll make a motion to approve.
There's a motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? No. Passes 4-1. Item B5 has to do with the surplusing of 40 vehicles. Interesting enough, a couple weeks ago, this board approved the purchase of 2 new vehicles, and here we are a couple weeks later, surplusing 40 vehicles. I voted against that a couple weeks ago because I felt that we still had plenty of vehicles countywide that we could utilize. And so I took a trip out to fleet maintenance yesterday to take a look at these 40 vehicles, and I'll be the first to admit that, yes, lots of them need to go. We've extended every useful ounce of it as we could have. As I was leaving Fleet Services, I then looked into a parking lot of another county agency, and by the dust on the cars, you can tell which cars are not being utilized in the very frequently, which goes back to my premise I had a couple of weeks ago that we may just have too many county vehicles that we're not utilizing, yet we purchased 2 new ones. Got me thinking that maybe we need a larger fleet maintenance policy, a policy maybe that this board sets on how we handle fleet. We own very many makes and models, different kind of cars, and that maintenance of the wide variety of vehicles that we own probably makes it more expensive. You look in the Sheriff's Department where all their patrol cars are the same make and model, and you're like, okay, there's some efficiencies there. But you look on them countywide, and those decisions are usually left up to departments, from what I can tell. And so as we look at a bigger policy question, I think there's a couple things we need to ask. First of all, we probably need to put more control into the fleet manager to let him have the discretion on the vehicles that we're purchasing based on past history of their performance and maintenance cost. Second thing we need to probably take a look at what point do we say, okay, we're going to salvage or surplus these cars out? At what point does it make sense to put another $1,000 into repair of a car to get another year or two of useful life out of it rather than surplusing out? And so I think it just begs the question to look at a bigger policy that might be more efficient of taxpayer dollars. So.
We can do that, Chair, and what we'll do is we'll bring our existing policies. I know a number of our funds are tied to various programs and grants, and so the flexibility to utilize those assets within other areas, I know, does have some restrictions. To what extent that is, I cannot tell you exactly off the top of my head, but I know some of those dollars definitely come with strings and determining factors of where they can be used. But we'll bring that back to you, and what we'll do is we'll share with you what our existing policy is and try to and definitely address some of the points you've brought up today.
Okay. Any other comments?
I noticed that, you know, one of the trailers is 1936 and then 1949, so I think they're fairly well used. But
There were some that were very well used.
Yeah, but there's also, you know, dump truck's only got 30,000 miles on it. You wonder what the problem is with that dump truck.
That one's probably emissions. The emissions have changed so much, it can't meet emissions anymore. So there's a lot of reasons why these are being surplused out.
Okay.
Okay, motion to proceed. Do you want to bring it back, or do you want to get rid of these vehicles?
I would like this board to consider getting rid of these vehicles because, as Chairman O'Brien mentioned, that they do need to be salvaged and auctioned off. And so, but we'll bring back as a separate item a list, a revised policy, but also share with the board what our existing policies are when it comes to our fleet maintenance.
But the cars you saw are not in this, are they?
A majority of them need to go. I'm not willing to see all of them, personally.
So then let's wait and let's take a look at them and decide which one.
Is that fine with the board?
Yep.
Very good.
Well, I'm having difficulty. I understand what you're saying, but I have faith in the department heads in making their decisions. They're the ones that run it. They know what the requirements are. And I don't want us to get into micromanaging. I want us to be thrifty with our money, yes. But I don't want this board to end up being micromanagers in every department. So I personally make a motion that we accept this.
I'll second that. I'd like to just get this over with.
Okay. And before I call for the vote, I'll just respond to that. And one of the questions, Supervisor Monteith, is, does a department pay to repair a car or come and ask for general fund money to buy a new one? That's what I'm looking at, sir.
Well, I think, no, I'm not questioning the fact of looking into policies. I'm not objecting to that. I think from time to time you have to look at policies because things change. But I would say that at this point, I believe that our managers are looking at their departments under the rules that we're under at this time, and they're functioning as such. In order to hold up this another week to review all the policies that have been in effect for a long time, I don't see the necessity. I think as the next time comes around, if we make some changes, that's fine. But to me, to hold up this vote at this time is micromanaging.
Okay. It appeared on the agenda Friday, had concerns, and it's Tuesday. I'll call for the vote. There's a motion by Monteith, second by DeMartini. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Against? Opposed?
No.
Passes 3-2 to proceed. Moving on. Item agenda B7, approval to select Hawk and WLC Architects for 3 Stanislaus County Public Safety Center expansion projects. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, members of the board, CEO, you know, Mr. Doring, Adam Christensen, your sheriff, and here we are again talking about some more exciting things that are happening in the community, especially related to critical public safety infrastructure. Now, before I start, specific to the agenda item, I want to let everybody know that we really are very fortunate right now. We're better off than most. We found the bottom of our fiscal free fall. 18 recruits started the academy yesterday in Alameda County. We're hiring for the first time in 3.5 years. And while all of this is not new money, we haven't seen an increase in our base allocation. I do want the community to know that the reason we're able to do this is primarily through attrition. And the fund balance that everybody talks about is really salary savings from those positions. So if we filled the 54 various vacancies right now today that we have at the sheriff's office, we wouldn't have a fund balance, but we would still have a balanced budget. We are accountable to you, and we are accountable to the people. With that, we're here before you this morning to talk about the next phase of our AB 900 Phase 2 project. You all know that realignment... public safety realignment has come with some challenges that everybody in California faces, and I'm pleased to say that because of the work of our team, we are by far leading the way in meeting the demand of those challenges. Now, we know that we had a local public safety challenge before realignment. We know that we had a local jail bed capacity problem before realignment, and now here we are today needing more adequate jail bed space. But it's not just beds. We know that we have to put beds in the mix. We know that we have to be able to provide a safe, secure environment for people who come into our custody, as well as our staff and the people who work for us. But we also built into this plan a medical mental health care unit, because we know that mental illness in the community is an ever-growing concern. We've strengthened our partnerships. We've gone out and we're currently partnering with Doctors Medical Center and other stakeholders in the community and community-based organizations to help provide services that are critically needed so that we continue to live in a healthy and safe community. We know that's important. We built that in. We know that early intervention and prevention is important. We know that programming is important. We know that educational, vocational, and rehabilitative opportunities are important, and that's why we've, in this plan, you're going to see a day reporting center. The current day reporting center in Salida, because of probation and the leadership of our chief probation officer, Jill Silva, has been huge, but we've outgrown it. We need more room. We've diverted a lot of people out of our custody to alternative work programs. And again, as one of the things that we've placed significant emphasis on is illegally dumped trash throughout our community. Everywhere we go, we see trash on the side of the road. We're going to have people out picking that up in an effort to beautify our community and bring some more pride in where we live. Now, I will tell you, and I've told the community, there's more good than there is bad. You just don't read about it. But this is yet another opportunity, not only to build in critical public safety infrastructure, but provide those critically needed services that people need. So with that, I want to say thank you to Patty Hill Thomas for her leadership, the leadership team of Capital Projects, and especially our leadership team at the Sheriff's Office under the command of Captain Bill Duncan and his team in adult detention. We are, again, in Stanislaus County, leading the way. We are the benchmark standard for others in how to get things done and how to work together, so much so that everybody else says, how did you do it? How is that possible that you were able to bring the CCP together, the Community Corrections Partnership, and actually bring a Phase 2 plan to the board when everybody else is still fighting over Phase 1? It's because of partnerships, collaboration, and our desire to work together to benefit the people that we serve in the community. And that has to do with, again, the health and safety of our community. With that, Patty Hill Thomas, thanks for doing this for us.
Thank you, Sheriff. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Ms. Nino, Mr. Doring. I'm Patty Hill Thomas, Chief Operations Officer, and I am thrilled to be here today. The sheriff said it much better than ever could. This is really an effort of the heart and tenacity of this organization, and it's about the community we serve and its safety. So we thank you for the opportunity to work in that venue. With me at the table is Mr. Tim Fedorchek. A special thanks to Tim for boiling down what seems to me to be a lifetime of work into a wonderful short PowerPoint, and Mr. Mark Lozier in the back. I'll introduce them both again for putting the story together on paper. In this room, joined by the sheriff, is what I would call the most amazing and hardworking jail project team in the universe. And I believe that to be true, so I have the microphone, so there I said it. We are so excited to be here today. This is really big for our community. We are very competitive. We like to be first. And again, we are first today in the state of California to take to a Board of Supervisors a AB 900 Phase 2 project. But this is much more than that, and I'll speak about that in a moment. This effort is really about your board's leadership, your commitment to a safe community, and you've ingrained that in this organization's thought, in its commitment, and its fabric. And that's what it's about, aside from the competition and the excitement and the challenge, with a big C for challenge. It is simply about the safety of the community, and that's what inspires us to do our work. Before we get to the recommendations, I really want to take a moment and express Our appreciation is to your board for your leadership. Your board's Capital Facilities Committee has worked over this last 2 years with us on both the juvenile side project and the adult side project. Your entire board has been engaged in the, from riding on buses to Sacramento to encouraging the state to be good to their county partners at a time when it doesn't seem like they're being that good to their county partners, particularly when it comes to criminal justice realignment. So thank you to the members of the board. The sheriff and his team are very tenacious. They have a lot of courage. This is backwards, you know. You don't, when you plan something, whether it's an event or a building or anything, you kind of like to plan first and then deliver the plan so that you can accomplish your goal. In this case, it's just all messed up. The realignment occurred October 1, the inmates started flowing, the parolees started flowing to probation, yet it takes years to build facilities adequate to house the people that have been shifted to county government from state responsibility. And that's important. For as fast as we are going, it still takes a lot of time. So every day in our three jails now, our staff and the sheriff's staff have a tremendous challenge. Our probation department has a tremendous challenge. I really want to thank Sheriff Christensen. He has embraced this so enthusiastically. It gives me energy. Captain Bill Duncan, Lieutenant Greg Clifton, Lieutenant Jim Jacobs, Tim Fedorchek, Mark Lozier, Leticia Lamilli in the back, our Senior Construction Manager, Don Feemister, Teresa Vanderveen, Daryl Long, Counsel Joan Cox in the back of the room, Randy Cavanaugh, Josh Ewing, Angela Freitas for doing a beautiful job on CEQA. Do you know we're the only county in the state through the CEQA process on a new jail? It's really good, and I thank you, Angela. We're also helped by Under Sheriff Nick Hardenbrook. We're joined today for the first time that I got to see him in our team setting with Transition Sergeant Steve Traverso and Lieutenant Brenda Suarez from the Sheriff's Department. They have been phenomenal from start to finish. And all the work we've done for 6 years comes forward to today. And today, with your approval, is really the start of the effort. Last night, I watched another great Northern California baseball team clinch a playoff. And, you know, this is like our World Series. You all know I'm a baseball fan, and I can't indeed talk about it. But the coach was talking about just really simply how amazing it is when a group of people decide to work together, decide to team up, and decide to do marvelous things. And that's what this effort is about. And I say that, and I appreciate a little bit of extra time to be able to recognize them, because I get to sit here and talk to you, but this is about a team effort. The sheriff calls it a team sport. These people and your board have a common goal about the safety of the community. They are willing to step out and go beyond to make sure that that is delivered. I am very grateful for this group of individuals. I appreciate our chief executive officer. I appreciate our county council. We are in a good place today. And I like the saying on the screen, it is about what we do here. We plan our work and we work our plan. And I hope that this morning your board will see that that's our commitment. This is a long time coming. I got so excited a year ago that it seemed like it was going so fast. Lieutenant Clifton reminded me that it's been a slow 6 years just to get to the start. And with your approval today, we believe that we can work the plan. It was just a little more than a year ago. Remember October 18, 2011? It was a hot October day. Your board hosted the groundbreaking for the Juvenile Commitment Center. It's 72% done today. State's lease revenue bonds are in Gordon Ford's hands. The treasurer, it makes him happy. Not all of it, but it's flowing. And we handed Secretary Kate the application wrapped in a bow for our request for $80 million. Our $80 million request was approved a couple of Tuesday mornings ago while you were here adopting the budget, September 11th, 2012, by the State Public Works Board, the first 8900 Phase 2 project to proceed in the state. The State Public Works Board approved the project scope, the cost, and the schedule. We're very grateful for the work of the state people on our behalf, and I'd like to say it's magic, but it's really about your leadership and hard work of all the people behind me in the room. We are proud to be here today. If, with your approval, we will essentially initiate the project. You will see it every step of the way. You do that, and that's how we do our capital projects work here. The state will also see it every step of the way. It's a pretty onerous project. Jails are hard to build, and we've built them before, but they're only hard to build if you don't have the right people on the team. And I hope that you will find today that through a very exhaustive process, we have brought the best of the best into the room and into the fold. It is my pleasure to go through with you some of the details of the plan now as we begin to work our plan. We've had public safety center plans for a long time, and fortunately your board authorized us to go update the plan even before there was real talk about realignment. In December, you approved that updated plan, and the next phases, and I emphasize next because there's still a lot a need beyond the jail facilities we're describing today in our community. For example, we still don't have the funds to close the downtown jail that desperately needs to be replaced. There were three projects in the next phase identified in the new master plan. They included what we, and you'll see this theme and you see it in our work, what we call Project One, 384 maximum security beds. They don't exist in our jail system. A 72-bed medical mental health housing unit doesn't exist in our jail facilities now. Medical services unit and a new central control. Project Two is what the sheriff spoke about, very unique. The only one in all of the applications for the $500 million of construction funds this time around, four-day recording center. That's really a tribute to probation, sheriff, behavioral health, the community corrections plan, an idea that a non-secure facility for both out-of-custody and some in-custody programs to try to change that cycle of incarceration. And Project Three, all the other things needed to make that public safety center work, the intake, release, transportation, and jail administration and lobby. This project funded entirely by cash in the bank. And a project that we never built because we always focused on getting beds as opposed to the ancillary support services that were very much needed. You know about this story. Projects 1 and 2, 90% paid by the state of California. It's the first time there's been a 90% state, 10% county, and that was in direct response to realignment to have more state funding. But with more state funding comes a lot more state rules and strings. I wanted to show you Project 1 and 2 from a match perspective, Tim. Just to remind you, the financing plan you approved also in December, we are borrowing an internal borrowing from our tobacco endowment fund of $7 million, paying that off over time at a lower cost of debt than we presently have because of some future debt being paid off both last year and in the coming year. There's $2.5 million of cash in the bank against our mandatory 10% match. And today the value of the land is being counted at $500,000, although it exceeds that. It allows us to move the match dollars to maximize state funding and minimize county funding. Our Project 3 project is entirely funded by public facility fees collected over the past years, all focused on expanded detention and jail facilities. That money is in the bank earning interest. There will be no debt for this entire project beyond the $7 million portion of the match. Just to remind you, we have a construction project underway that we'll be dedicating in September of 2013. We have $125.5 million of construction efforts that will be underway with your approval at the Public Safety Center pretty soon. Just to remind you, the Public Safety Center is now located in the city of Ceres. It was previously in the unincorporated area. This visual gives you a sense of the things that are there. And most important is this. This is essentially the scope of the project. You can see at the top, Project 2 is the day reporting facility. Project 3 is the county-funded intake release. And the county and Project 1 are the housing units and how nicely they will fit right into the existing public safety center. Yesterday, Dr. Walker and Dr. McCurdy, our two medical directors for public health and mental health, and their department heads joined us to assist us in the planning of that medical mental health unit, which will be instrumental in this whole entire program.
I am not going to read this to you because it gives me a headache just to look at it, but the things up on the list today are the things that we have already accomplished with yours and the state approval, and that is what got us to today. That is that the state has approved the project scope, the project budget, and the project schedule. Tim's going to run through a list that is even longer, and they're all the milestones that will come back to your board. You can go ahead and run through it. Before we can celebrate the completion of these public safety facilities. And that list is a challenging one, but our team is ready to take it on. Today is not only about initiating the project and giving you an update, but asking you to approve the selection of the design professionals. You authorized to issue, authorized us to issue requests for qualifications. We held our mandatory conference. We had firms from across the country interested in the Stanislaus County project. We had 10 submittals. And when I say 10, many of these firms bring with them two or three or four other firms, and they joint venture or partner. And I will tell you sincerely that we had the very best of the best architectural, justice-related architectural teams in the country interested in the Stanislaus County project. They had a chance to propose on project one, two, or three, or any combination, because each project has an identity, and we wanted to make sure that each of those identities were respected through the project. Our criteria were very clear, and this was a very exhaustive process. We not only looked at the experience of the firm, what their past claims history is or litigation, which of course we don't like and don't choose to partner with, the qualifications of the individuals, the type of the work they've done, focused on jails and justice facilities, primarily in California but other parts of the nation, and the character, integrity, and reputation of the architects. We invited seven firms to a two-part interview. We spent about 70 hours on this, and it was very interesting. The firms proposed, and then we gave them a problem and asked them to come back 3 hours later. Well, actually, we didn't ask them to come back. We just told them to stay, and we left and came back, and it was fascinating. We learned so much from that process, but we had to choose from, and I need to make this clear, the best of the best, and it's hard to choose when you have those many great opportunities, but we really wanted to make sure that we could bring to this team the kind of dynamic creativity, focus on staff efficiency, because the construction costs get lost over time when you think about the cost operating these jail facilities, and one that could join us in delivering these projects successfully. We went on the road. We talked to the top four. We looked in their closets. We looked at what they do. We talked to their clients. We talked to anyone that we could find that might have an issue, and we really, really, really wanted to check them out. Two of them are in the room today, and they know them. So, with that, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, it is our pleasure to recommend the selection of two firms for three projects today. We are recommending that projects one and three, which are about the jail operations together, be awarded to HOK Architects out of the San Francisco, California office. HOK is joined by LDA Partners. That name is probably familiar to you. Mr. Eric Wohl is in the audience. He was the chief architect of the county's animal shelter, and he will assist in the coordination with the HOK justice experts. Jeff Goodell is, I'm going to introduce him to come up in a moment, is the, I think he's the director of global justice or something in the world, but he is indeed the principal in charge of our project. This firm has the most phenomenal successful experience in the country, and in particularly in California, and is on the cutting edge of about trying to deliver these projects in a way that is not only as fast as possible, but as efficient as possible, both from a construction perspective and a staffing perspective. And it will be great to work with them. They brought a phenomenally talented team of the best experts I've ever seen, and I've been doing this for a while, to the county's Project 1 and 3 proposal. Also in the audience, and I'll introduce them in a moment, are the two principals in charge of the Folsom office of WLC Architects, who also have a tremendous but smaller repertoire of justice and law enforcement projects, and brought to us a proposal for that day reporting center about its identity
and essentially about its hopefulness that people that come there could make a change in their life. And they have other examples where they partnered with schools, police departments, probation, and others. We were so impressed with their experience and their creativity that we decided to ask you to hire both these firms for the three projects. Before I introduce you, I will remind you that this is a tricky schedule. I know we can't go fast enough, but we expect to complete the state due diligence and right now have an appointment with the State Public Works Board on December 14th of this year to finish the negotiation and form of all the agreements. In the winter of 14, we will ask you to award a design build contract to construct these projects. And in the summer of 2016, this county can celebrate their completion. There's a federal tax implication about state lease revenue bonds money that has been tested all the way to the Supreme Court that says once you start one of these projects in a construction award of state lease revenue bonds, you must complete it within 36 months for those lease revenue bonds to maintain their tax-exempt status. It has to be done properly. And so you see in our report some recommendations that give us some flexibility on the day reporting center to perhaps design it more fully before we seek bids in order to make sure that this entire project is delivered to the state and to the county within the 36-month federal tax law requirement. I just sort of call that very tricky. With that, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Jeff Goodell. He's the principal in charge of HOK Architects.
Good morning. Thank you, Patty, for the kind words. It's a lot to live up to. I think when I have my next raise, I'm going to have you come in and negotiate for me. You're just not very good. Again, thank you very much, Board of Supervisors, for having us here. We're very excited about this project. Patty and her team, they adhere to a standard of excellence that we really can relate to. The state counties here in the state of California are doing a new kind of detention facility that hasn't been done anywhere else. It's a joining between a traditional detention facility and long-term sentenced folks that are coming back from CDCR. So there's a tremendous amount of challenges with realignment. And along with that come the issues of medical care, mental health treatments. Our firm, myself in particular, been working with the receiver here for a number of years on determining what is constitutionally minimum care for these wards of the state. And since you'll be hosting some of these wards of the state, what kind of standards are you going to be held to? So again, a lot of different issues. These are the types of projects that we are dedicated to. As Patty mentioned, I'm the Global Director of Justice Design for HOK. And my group within HOK is dedicated to doing these kinds of projects. These are the kinds of projects we get very excited about doing and that we really, really dig in and work hard with. I think further, the fact that this will be design-build and our role as the bridging architect, and again, teaming with our partners from LDA and now WLC, we really look forward to working with the county to really give you the best value when you do get proposals from design-build contractor teams down the road here, making sure we maximize the value that you get for the dollars, not just on the upfront construction costs, but really minimizing your costs for staffing, your costs for other resources. One of the cutting-edge things going on in detention design and construction today is energy reduction. These are 24-hour facilities that use a tremendous amount of water resource, a lot of electrical resource, other resources, and so the reduction of those resources is another key to having a successful facility. One that doesn't use resources, one that's easy to maintain for years. So those are all values that we believe in, and I think that's part of why we really were able to make a partnership with Patty and her group on the project. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Jeff. I'd like to introduce to you Max Medina. Max, the principal in charge. Bill Louie is in the audience as well, the principal in charge from WLC Architects out of Folsom, California. Good morning, Max.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, members of the Board of Supervisors. I need to say one thing. Patty, we love you.
That's not good to say here.
There's something special about when we started having the opportunity to interview with you folks and Patty's leadership. It there wasn't a cheerleader for an important project in the state of California, I think we found one. Because with all the experience and everything that we've brought to the table, which we think we are well qualified to do, Patty wants to bring this to a certain level, and we certainly know her qualifications, as basically the rah-rah member of this team to make this the most important project that the county will ever see. We see it that way. I said a couple of things to my team, and Mr. Bill Louis, my co-principal here, who I've been with in our office for about 28 years, and known for longer than that, almost 35, we bring a special team that has a passion about designing facilities like this. On one hand, we do law enforcement. On the other hand of our office, we do education. The program's day reporting facility is basically the best of both. It's a necessary facility because it's legislated. Got to do it. It's an important facility because there's some certain impacts to the local community in terms of public safety that must be met and cannot be compromised. The one part of this project that I think maybe Patty had noticed in us is the part I want to say it's special. And it's only special, and I use the term only because it's special because no one will probably ever use this, that word for a facility like this, or they don't associate it with it. So I said to my team, HOK is designing a project where prisoners, people will be released. You're giving us the opportunity and maybe the task to do a project where you say, come back. Come back. Leave better. And actually, please come back. We don't want you being lost in the community. So I didn't mention architecture till now. That's what architecture does. That's what we have a passion for. And I think as we were led by Patty and team and the rest of our master project architects there, we are invigorated to just make this the special project that it needs to be. It is very important. I know that there's not many like this around. So we will bring everything that we've got in our arsenal to make this and listen to you and listen to the community members to make sure that this is a successful project for years and years to come. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, we haven't yet done the economic multiplier of $125 million in the community, but it's going to be a good boost for the community as well. In our recent projects, we talked about every dollar turning over at least 3.5 times, so we welcome that in the community with the state money and the county money as well. We have several recommendations before you today to approve the selection of the two design teams that we've introduced you to award the contract for projects one, specifically a separate contract for the state and county project using lease revenue bond financing to HOK of the San Francisco office in an amount not to exceed $2.934 million, to award the second contract to WLC. This is also a separate contract pursuant to the state's funding of the project with the county match, and to also initiate the design. This is a lump sum contract for design build not to exceed $287,950, with a provision exclusively at the direction and discretion of the county, which will come back to your board, to change to design bid build delivery if that assists in advancing the project and meeting the 36-month federal tax requirements as well. That would be an amount not to exceed a total of $517,000. Both those contracts are funded. The architectural funds in the project will be funded by the state lease revenue bonds, not by county dollars. To take the third contract for the approval of the Project 3, funded entirely by county public facility fees, to the firm of HOK of San Francisco in a lump sum amount not to exceed $1,155,500. To authorize the project manager to issue all the notices to proceed, to negotiate and sign the contracts and work authorizations necessary to support this phase within the approved project budget, and direct the auditor controller to make the necessary budget adjustments. We're asking you to adjust the budget today for the schematic design phase of the project, and we'll be back before your board for the other adjustments. Those numbers are all pursuant and consistent with what the board has already approved for the project's financing plan. And finally, to direct the auditor controller to establish a new capital project fund for the Project 3. We keep these dollars separate because the county public facility fees, this is the amount of 735 $1,090 for the next phase of work for Project 3 through schematic design. On behalf of the entire team, we would be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
First of all, I think we need to commend you for a job well done on this interview and bid selection process. I read through that staff report and was intrigued, especially by the four-hour request for them to solve a problem. So can't wait to hear about that.
Thank you.
Comments and questions from the board? Seeing none, I will ask the audience members if anybody wishes to comment on this item. Good morning. Again.
Good morning. Just very quickly, since I, in the past I've asked you to pass an ordinance and you've deigned not to, I'm going to remind everybody about a past contract that the sheriff had with Correct Care Solutions, where the principals of the business decided to put checks, bundle checks into an envelope and send it to his reelection campaign fund, funding or coming to about $5,800. I would hope, and indeed we will be following, to ensure, or at least hopefully, that this doesn't happen again, since the board chose not to pass an ordinance against it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to comment on this agenda item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Final comments or motion?
So moved to accept all five recommendations by the staff.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, moving on to correspondence.
This board has received a notice from the San Joaquin Valley Unified Air Pollution Control District regarding a notice of public workshops for the draft 2012 PM 2.5 plan.
Refer to Department of Environmental Resources and to the Agricultural Commissioner and Sealers of Weights and Measures.
This board has received a letter from the Clerk Recorder and Registrar of Voters inviting a member of the Board of Supervisors to be a participant on the Election Observer Panel for the Presidential General Election on Tuesday, November 6, 2012.
Okay, we need to designate a board member to be on the panel. Are there any volunteers, Mr. DeMartin?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I plan to be there anyway, so I'd be happy to represent the board.
Did anybody else wish to volunteer? Supervisor?
We have a great volunteer. I so move the acceptance.
He does it every time for us, so we appreciate it.
Well, I enjoy doing it. I've never found the problem there, but, you know, you have to look, and I think our clerk recorder does a good job, but I feel a lot better if I observe the election to be sure there's no improprieties.
Well, then
we've never yet found one.
We will designate you as our member to be on the panel. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Seeing none, Legislative Fiscal Management Report, Chief Executive Officer?
Not today.
Then at this point, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.